Excuse the news. This is a McGill Daily and CKUT collaboration.
Last week, on November 6th, as part of McGill's Culture Shock series, a film called Race at McGill was screened with a discussion following it. This film shared the experiences and observations of students, faculty, and staff of color at McGill. It sought to explore the myths, the struggles, and resilience of racialized and Indigenous community members present at McGill. This event was co-sponsored by Quebec Public Interest Research Group at McGill and the Student Society of McGill University. Currently, we are sitting here with the filmmaker of Race at McGill, Shaina Agbayani. Thank you for coming, Shaina.
Thank you for having me.
So, could you just start by giving us some background? Why and how did you decide to undertake this project?
Sure. I think there was always a seed in my mind to do a project around Race at McGill and like documenting the experiences of racialized people at McGill. By always, I mean since I came to McGill. I think a lot of my experience at McGill was not seeing myself like reflected in the curriculum and the faculty and my peers and in the staff. And that was really like salient to me throughout my experience. And so I, in the process of sort of talking to other students who had similar experiences and frustrations related to not really seeing, I guess, themselves mirrored in their educational experience at McGill. It's dawned on me that there was like an importance in documenting some of the struggles associated and sort of just like affirming that these realities exist for different racialized students. I guess there was a timely time a couple years ago when I really couldn't find any course that I wanted to do to maintain my full-time student status. I needed to maintain my full-time student status for a whole bunch of reasons, including, you know, getting my student aid from the government. But I couldn't find any course that I wanted to take that I found interesting. And so, I started to think about trying to do an independent study that was basically a film project about race at McGill. And so by virtue of the reality of things at McGill, I ended up approaching like all white professors with this idea. Professors who I'd had before and who I knew were to varying degrees sympathetic to like anti-racist theories. One professor in particular was actually unconditionally supportive to my proposal and let me do an independent study that was this video project. And so for a couple semesters, I did an independent study that ended up being this video project on Race at McGill. I interviewed like a lot of friends, also people who I, in the process of speaking to friends, learned were doing other similar projects related to Race at McGill, and ended up interviewing many people, probably in the range of like 15 to 20 people, about their experiences as students at McGill, as faculty, as staff at McGill. That's how the project sort of started out and ended up happening.
Mm-hmm. Did you receive any reluctance or hesitancy when trying to have these conversations with these people?
For the most part, no, but there's like one really notable exception. One person who I unfortunately didn't end up interviewing, this person initially agreed to be interviewed, and I guess like a couple days before she was to be interviewed, and she's a woman of color tenured faculty member, and that's a rare thing at McGill in the Faculty of Arts. But she ended up deciding that she would prefer not to be interviewed because she said something to the effect of, I don't know if it's prudent for me to like to do this interview given how precarious like our positions as women of color are already at McGill. And so that really struck me, and it sort of for me affirmed the reality, or like confirmed the reality, that like the silence around like race and the lack of diversity at McGill sort of perpetuates silence. Unfortunately, I didn't get to interview her, even though it seemed like she was really keen on having the conversation, and like within the privacy of her office hours was like really keen to have the conversation. Eventually decided that it probably wouldn't be prudent given how precarious like it can be speaking about some of these things at McGill as racialized people.
Were there any other difficulties that you faced while making this film?
I think difficulties, maybe not quite, but I guess just sort of the process was slow. And like the process was slow because
the conversation around these things is slow. and I think doing this work felt really invigorating in some ways, because I mean, I think these types of conversations are what have sustained me and allowed me to feel like I can exist at McGill in a way that feels like meaningful and in a way that feels like my presence here is like valued. Like that is what's allowed for me in these types of conversations with other peers who are students of color. But at the same time, it's like difficult having these conversations sometimes. And like, I can remember sometimes after the interviews, I was like, wow, this person just shared like a lot with me. And I don't quite know how to respond, or like, you know, these conversations, they're sometimes like so rare that when they do happen, it feels like there's something that's draining, not necessarily bad, but just like draining about having the conversations. And it depends. Sometimes they're invigorating, sometimes they're draining, sometimes they're both. But I think just by virtue of like the nature of the conversation, sometimes it can be a little bit it can be of weight to have these conversations.
There was the screening of the film, and then there was a discussion that followed afterwards, and it was close to just people of color. Why was it important for you to have the discussion close to just people of color, Indigenous and mixed race folks?
That's I think a question that comes up often. And I think in this particular context of, you know, having a post-film screening discussion, it was important because these discussions, I think, are meant to center the voices and the experiences and the emotions of people of color. And I think oftentimes when there is a conversation in which white people are involved and the conversation is around race, there might be a decentering of people of color's experiences in the sense that the presence of like white bodies might make people of color feel hesitant to say things that might maybe like hurt the feelings of like white people, or that might make it so that it seems that they're, you know, talking about like the white person in the room when they're actually talking about just like whiteness in general as a structure and like as an institution. But I think like, I know I can say this for myself and for some of the peers who I've had conversations about race with, we have experiences where we do feel like sometimes we are, we don't want to maybe like hurt the feelings of white people in the room, or we don't feel like we can express like optimally what we might want to express about race, for fear of like maybe compromising the feelings of somebody in the room. And like, I think having mixed discussions with people of color and white people is like super, super important, depending on the context. But I think within this specific context, the goal of the conversation from my end was to center and like really affirm the experiences of people of color. And I think it made sense to do that in a closed space, because it was a film skewing around, you know, the experiences of racialized students at McGill, and a film that was that is at the end of the day meant to like affirm and support most people of color and center their experiences.
Mm-hmm. And one of the big topics that they talked about in the film was around the idea of safe space. Mm-hmm. Do you think McGill does enough in terms of creating safe spaces for people of color or and Indigenous people?
I think it depends on who you mean when you say McGill. McGill as I don't know, this sort of like disembodied institution. When I think of McGill in this disembodied institution sort of way, which I often do, I don't think McGill like does enough as a whole. But when I think of like specific institutions at McGill, when I think of, for example, like SMU Equity, when I think of like the Social Equity Diversity Education Office, when I think of the Black Students Network, the First People's House, I think these are definitely institutions at McGill that, you know, work actively to create safer spaces for students at McGill. But they're sometimes, they're sometimes like separate from McGill as a whole, and oftentimes like exist and only like operate within the sort of limited resources that McGill as a larger bureaucracy offer to these institutions. And so I would say, yeah, like these specific institutions definitely work to create safer spaces, but within the sort of like confines of the limited resources that McGill as this like larger bureaucracy, and you know, the organizations at McGill, like the Board of Governors that actually like allocate funding in some ways, don't actually support or don't take active measures to create safer spaces at McGill. And Not to say that there isn't an intention to do that, but I think there, I think there are a lot of intentions to do that. I think the Joint Senate Board Committee on Equity is an initiative that is intended to do that. But at the end of the day, the Joint Senate Board Committee on Equity, which is, I think, one of the sort of like larger, more bureaucratic and most sort of like direct in your face examples of like McGill as this big institution trying to move forward with fostering equity at McGill. It's there and it has intentions planted, but there aren't actually many like material resources committed to funding some of the proposals that people in the Joint Senate Board Committee on Equity are proposing. And so, yeah, I feel like there are shortcomings with some of those intentions because of a lack of commitment to resources.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of taking like active measures, what changes would you like to see the McGill administration or students make when it comes to how we understand and discuss race on campus?
I would say like listen to the voices of people of color. And I think people of color are like a very heterogeneous group of people. And depending on who you're asking in their social location, like they'll tell you different things about what they need to make the campus a safer space for them. But I do think that there are ready initiatives that exist. Some of the ones I already mentioned before, SMU Equity, First People's House, Social Equity Diversity Education Office, where a lot of people of color are working like in the front lines and taking on leadership roles to like cultivate safer spaces at McGill and to do organizing that like centers the voices of people of color at McGill. And I would say like listening to those people in their various social locations and their different needs is like a first step, because the work is already being done with or without the institutional commitment and resources of McGill. But those resources would definitely help. Listening to those people who are already doing this work, and those people are saying, I think, many different things because we're all different, but we also are calling for similar things a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now that the event has been over, was there anything about the film or the event that you would have changed?
I wish, like, technically, like, as you experienced, there was, like, a 1-hour delay, sound wasn't optimal, and just, like, technological issues, but, like, so those things, I wish they would have gone more smoothly, but aside from that, I think, like, the discussion was really great, and I was really happy to see, like, so many people come out, which, for me, like, made me feel a lot of feelings, like, the fact that it was like one of the larger conversations that I'd been part of that was people of color closed specifically at McGill demonstrated to me both that like this conversation is like really, really needed and that people are coming out because they know about it. But also that like maybe things aren't like getting institutionally better at McGill. I don't know if the fact that there were so many people there meant that things are institutionally like getting better at McGill or that they're getting worse. Maybe it means both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that was really like notable for me. And like, yeah, I was grateful that so many people came out and I wonder like what it means that so many people came out. But I think it was definitely, despite any way that might have reflected, you know, institutional conditions getting worse, it also meant that a lot of people are coming out and like want to have the discussion, which is always great. So yeah, mm-hmm. I felt pretty good about it.
And finally, for the people who missed the screening last week, how can they see the film or access the film?
I am in the process of like creating a link. I still need to sort of like properly render it. I'm like very open to sharing the link with people. I'm sort of like thinking about how I can like in the most constructive way share this video. And I'm not sure that I want to share it with like absolutely like everyone yet. But if people and particularly people of color want to access the film, I'm so open to that. And I encourage people to like get in contact with me. To get in contact with me like through email, through like Facebook. My email is shainaagbayani@gmail.com. That's shainaagbayani@gmail.com. And people can also find me on Facebook. But yeah, I'm happy to send the video to like individual people of color at the moment, just for the time being. But I'm still thinking about like how I want to share the film more widely.
All right. Thank you for speaking with us, Shaina.
Thank you for talking to me.